there and Grandma and Grandpa upstairs. And they had, they'd have a festival come to town, because they had it all on West,
Marion Street. That blocked off down at the
And through there, because I can remember coming down and seeing it was a small Ferris wheel. And
that was in the early 50s.
But that didn't, they didn't block the square off, though.
Yes, they did. They did.
Did they just?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Because I remember this because Bird was upset that we had to carry groceries everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Because they closed the square and to traffic, and you couldn't get the car in there to the grocery store to get your groceries.
Okay.
We had to carry groceries down the, I think they run 309, well, 30. You know, 30 coming to town took a great big turn on Main Street. But you could go up over the, on that, what is the name of that street back at Tim Mooney's?
Section Line Road.
You could take that up over to 746 and go. I think they run traffic that way.
Okay, because I don't remember.
And this was for the Volunteer Fireman's Festival?
Yeah.
Well, it was a, it was just called Farmer's Festival.
Well, that was later, honey. This Fireman's Festival took place in the early 50s.
Oh, okay. Well, I was...
That was a fireman because they was making money. That was before they ever had any fire station over here.
I think my Grandpa Jack was a volunteer fireman.
Yeah,
right?
he and I...
He was in a real bad accident.
Real bad wreck. The guy
next to him got killed.
Got killed, yeah.
I remember.
Mike Landis, right at the end of the street down here.
Is that related to Kevin Landis, the produce?
Yeah. That was his uncle.
Brother, yeah.
It's his uncle.
And you served with all of them in the volunteer corps?
Yeah, yeah.
And I ran with the, then in... We started in 75. We started the emergency squad, and I ran on the emergency.
Well, that's when I got out.
So I was with the emergency squad.
I was on the fire department 16 years. I had a bad back, and I got to thinking, boy, if I get in a fire with somebody and I have to carry him out, I can't do it. So I quit.
How did you guys get trained as firemen and EMTs
as
civilians? You just got a class? Or
no, we had classes.
Yeah.
They held classes.
The state come through. I hired, I got on in the early 60s, and we didn't, other than what they showed us just up there. Then the state come through and said each independent or fire department like this had to have 36 hours training. So we had to take a 36-hour training course, and they sent a certified fire chief. Our first one was from Delaware, Ohio. He came up here and taught that. We, it was 36 hours, so we had to, I think we took 3 hours, that'd be 12 classes. And we had to have better than half our guys take all the, or almost all the classes to be, to get our certification.
And you weren't paid anything for this?
No.
Why do something so dangerous? Is it just because the town needed it?
Yeah, the town needed it. We would get $3 for every call we answered. But then we'd turn that money back in to a water truck fund, and we kept the water truck. That's the one that your grandpa and that guy got killed in. Your grandpa and another guy was riding in it with him. When the brakes went out of it, he got down to the end of where he had to turn up on 309. And I've been told, I don't know whether it's true or not, the woman stopped right in front of him. If he could have went straight, he could have went up over and down a driveway and out into a field. But he had to pull it up, and just no brakes, and that thing rolled, and he went out the door and it rolled right over him. And that was a bad.
That was in the late 70s.
Yeah.
Which I was after we had started the squad.
Yeah. Well, he was a squad
coordinator.
Yeah.
Wow.
might find us.
And when did the fire department become first consolidated? Was that a big decision, or?
No, that, again, the state come through, and they made a state law down in Columbus that, see, this fire department had Caledonia, Clarendon Township, Tully Township, and half of Canaan Township in it. And to consolidate that, you consolidate it into one fire company.
So they each had their own volunteer department?
No, we serviced them.
Oh, okay.
But the township trustees paid Caledonia for the fire protection. Now that they had consolidated, they could put a levy on all 3.5 townships to run that.
So that's why it's called consolidated.
We was the first one to do it. That's why we're first consolidated. We're the first one to take advantage of that state law.
In the whole state?
In the whole state and consolidate. That's why it's called the first consolidated fire department.
Literally, it is the first consolidated.
Right. It's the first one.
Wow, that's pretty historic.
Yeah, it is.
And with the EMT service, we don't have that now, or
we still have, but it's all paid now.
No,
I started in 75, and I ran till 97. Yeah, 97, because I didn't get my, and it was all volunteer again.
And there was an ambulance right here.
Yeah.
Right here in the... Well, when we first started out, town hall now? There was the west side of that, and then, well, we really didn't even have that much of it. There was a garage there, and that's where we kept the ambulance, and we had a little office there. But that's all we had until they built this down here then.
Back then, you would take the 911 calls, or something. You had someone.
We had pagers that they gave us, and when you were on duty, you had a pager that sat in your house, and when it would go off, then you'd go to the station and do the, you know, take the ambulance out. But it was all, we were all ran from home.
It's got to be hard, though, to answer kind of, people don't call 911 with fun stuff, you know?
Well, the 911 came through the sheriff's department, and then they would set the tones off, and we would go.
They do the same thing here with the fire department.
They do it now, too, but it's just, you know, we were coming from home. Nobody lived at their state. There was no place for anybody to stay. We all came in from home. And most everybody that ran early was all from here in town.
In town here. There's some outside.
But not that far out. But we all ran from home for years.
It sounds like both of you over the years were just very, very involved in the kind of civic life.
Well, only in that. I was more involved in the church. I was an elder over here for 40 years. We had two building projects. And
you said which church were you at?
Church of Christ.
The Church of Christ, okay.
Because your grandpa went to Church of Christ in Kirkpatrick.
I know. I was going to say, I don't know much about
Are
this.
You in the Church of Christ?
I'm just, you know, I didn't go to that church all the time growing up, but I've been there quite a bit and, you know the pastor a little bit. But I went to that church, the Church of Christ here for the first time this Easter. They did that pancake breakfast. It was really nice. Beautiful church.
Yeah.
So your family has a long history there.
Well, not anymore. We left there 18 years ago. We're in Church of Christ in Marion now.
That's what you said, okay.
On Richland Road.
Wow. So you're mostly involved through the church and then through the fire department and EMT service.
I worked on the fire department, but I put more time in it. Well, I put hours in over there.
What kind of work did you do with the church?
Well, I was an elder, and that's, we taught, we went out and called on people.
Repaired everything.
Repaired it. Okay. I'm good at repairing stuff, so I repaired. We built. There was a guy that was a farmer, lived out in Marr County. named Hayes Martin. Hayes and I worked good together. And when we built on over here, Hayes and I did a bigger share of it. I'd work third trick. I'd get up about noon. I couldn't go to sleep anymore. And Hayes, he was a farmer. He'd come in, and we'd go over there, and we'd work. And we'd build this, build that. He was left-handed. I was right-handed. What I couldn't do, he could do. Now we got along real great.
Nice how that all worked out. I got to ask you guys about your careers, too, and what you did. But I want to ask one thing really quick before I come back to it. Is it Alpha Chi?
Alpha Chi.
Alpha Chi Mothers Club. Was that the group that was raising money for the pool?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what happened with that? Because I've heard so many things. All I know is that the money disappeared and there wasn't a pool. I know it was kind of connected to all the money Trello Roman and people raised to fix up the bowstring and make the park over there, but what's the story with the pool? I know it's a sad one, but what happened?
Well, we gave the money to the park out here.
Anselman
Park.
Is that where the pool was supposed to be?
The pool was supposed to be out there.
No, it wasn't. It was supposed to go up here.
It was supposed to go up behind the high school or the school.
Well, part of the school property.
Yeah.
The school gave you guys that property.
That's right, and then we never
Mowing it. And the people living next to it said the snakes come out of the grass, snake them up there and pull me to mow it again.
But they gave, yeah, that's right. That's what we used to have bingo games on Friday. Every Friday night we have out there at the park.
Is that what used to be the Lions Club? That's what April said.
They're the ones that built that out there.
Because I grew up coming to the Lions Club and going to festivals there, and I told April, I said, I saw a bunch of pictures from one of the festivals I was at as like a 8-year-old. And I said, what happened to the Lions Club? I don't see it anymore. She goes, oh, that's Anselman Park now.
Yeah, the Lions Club went into Marion. It just kind of dissolved.
Yeah, it's sort of
like everything else. But the Alpha Chi Mothers Club, which we were going to build a pool here.
They never got quite enough money to do it. You guys had $50,000.
Yeah, and we donated it to different places.
So it didn't disappear.
No, it didn't. Most
of it went to the park out here.
I think I heard from someone was like, oh, it got stolen. It disappeared.
No.
They handed it out. It was all done legally.
Right. I mean, I know with a nonprofit, when you got money, you can't just. It can't disappear. It has to go to a different nonprofit.
I think the big reason they started that pool was there's a young girl that got killed down here on 746-95. Lori Hipscher, was it?
Mm-hmm.
I think Carol Alt might have told me. She said someone that danced with her got killed. I wonder if that was the same.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Her mother, well, Bonnie and her mother just like that.
We were in the mother's club together, and she and I both worked at Neff's Market in Galleon. And we rode to work every day together. I drove, she rode with me.
And that's where the pool idea came from?
Well, the pool idea came before that. But
did it? I thought that's where it came from that Kirby.
No, huh? Oh,
okay.
Was it Waldo that put in a pool?
Yeah.
And that's where it came from, when Waldo put their pool in.
I didn't know Waldo had a pool. Do they still have a pool?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know. But
they had...
They're expensive to keep up. They had put
a pool in, so we decided that would be a good thing for us to work for. We just never got it. I mean, we sold candy, and we had craft shows, and that's all we ever had to raise money, and...
This was in, like, the late 70s, kind of?
Yeah.
And do you guys want to take a quick break, or are you good?
Yeah, I think I got a quick break.
All right, we're back here with Jack and Bonita.
Yeah, they were going to have open-heart surgery on him.
On my Uncle Teddy.
Your Uncle Teddy.
Wow.
And they was looking for blood for him. So I went over there. I worked that night. He got off work, got home here at 7:30. We'd be over there like 9:30, so I got 2 hours sleep. Went in there and gave a quart of blood.
Pint
of blood. And I couldn't get off the gurney. I had to lay there and lay there and lay there. And I finally, she's told me I should have drank a lot of water, and I didn't. And I had 2 hours sleep. I never give blood again, but I give a pint to Teddy for his operation, his heart operation.
So was that something they talked about in the town? How, I was like, how did you know he needed blood? I guess
in the churches, Church of Christ here, because the Kirkpatrick Church and the Caroline Church are just like that.
So we kind of, you guys organized to take care of each other.
Well, no. We just found out they made an appeal down here to give blood to, and I knew him. I knew Jack real well, and so I might give blood for him.
Well, thank you. That's very kind.
Awesome. Well, Jack and I had a real good affinity for one another all through the years.
I want to hear your kid. Well, again, this is my bias as an interviewer, but I was like, please tell me about my grandpa. I'd love to hear about it. But then I want to ask you guys about your careers, too.
Okay,
but
I'll tell you.
I'd love to hear the story about my grandpa.
Jack?
I miss him a lot.
He was real handy with his hands, and he built model airplanes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, he had terrible temper. So Gene, they'd get in fights, and people thought they were going to kill one another. But Jack just got this airplane built, and something went wrong. And he just took it and tore it all to pieces.
Wow.
Now, when we were kids, we lived over on Water Street. And oh, I couldn't have been any more in fourth grade, fifth grade. Someone had shot her, man, my dad, I don't know, somebody shot a rabbit and pulled the tail off of the rabbit. And we were carrying that around and went over to see the Reese boys. Had an electric train down in the basement, and they had it on a board, and it was running around. And I don't, either me or my brother laid that rabbit tail, or tail on that fuzz on the rail. The engine went over and just picked it up and ground it into the gears and never run again. We ruined their engine for them. Honestly, what else did they do? Gene, he'd come through the alley. We lived right up here in the corner in high school. My brother and I had to be at the house at dark. We didn't dare run around town like a lot of the kids got to do. So they all come over to our house. We played kick the can. One guy would be it's like hide and seek. Only there's a can sitting there, and if the guy that was it seen you, he remembered to put his foot on the can and said 1, 2, 3 on Jack. Well, Gene, he was a homer. He never got away from the can that much. And I, at that time, that old house we bought had a whole row of shrubs called spirea. And I crawled into that and laid down in it. It was after dark. He couldn't see me. And when he got up, he'd come walking down there and he'd get even to me. I'd come out of there and I'd get out and run him. I ran, if I kicked the can, and everybody else got to go hide again. He'd get mad and go home.
You remember all of it.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It was like it's yesterday. I have a good memory. I wanted to tell you another story about the square up there, that meet that wooden set of buildings that set on the northwest corner there, and had the two places to live in, and had the upstairs, the meat market downstairs. Well, in 1940, probably about 48, 49, there was a family that lived across. Just crossed the tracks in that first house, named Butcher. And Charlie was in my class, and Jimmy was 2-3 years younger than him. Now, Jimmy ended up being a marrying cop all his life. But they had an older sister, and she come moved back in with them, and she got rented that building and put a little dinky restaurant in there. It didn't last a year. No one went to it. But she put a restaurant in that building. You might want to know that.
I have no idea. I mean, those buildings, they got torn down a long time ago,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. they were torn down before Randy Underwood got into the mayor's office.
They were still there when we came.
Oh, yeah. Sure they were. But good man. He must have graduated in about 70.
This is Randy?
Yeah, had to be 71 or 72, and he become mayor. He was the youngest mayor in the state of Ohio. He become mayor at 18 years old. Nobody else wanted to do it.
It's amazing. I can't wait to interview him. He was sick, so we're waiting to do an interview with him.
Well, now, he don't live here, does he?
Randy?
Yeah.
I think he lives in Caledonia.
Okay.
Maybe he doesn't.
Well, never see him. I never see him out anymore.
He came to our planning sessions on Zoom, but maybe he lives somewhere else. I thought he lived here.
I heard he was living in Columbus, that guy.
Oh, maybe he does, but I don't know. We were going to do an interview with Larry
Charles. His sister.
His sister's Linda Smith, right?
Yeah.
And she's an artist, right?
I don't know.
Or she had the, did she have the card shop?
Oh, that's right. She had a shop up there in that door. My uncle had the, yeah. What did she sell in there?
Or tanning beds, was that her shop? Someone had tanning beds.
I think she had tanning beds in there. She had, just crafty things and cards. And
small world. Everyone will be talking about how to shop at one point or another. So I wanted to ask you guys, because we started off right in the kind of tell me what was in each building. I didn't get a lot of your life stories, but I'd love for each of you to tell me, you know, what you did for work throughout your lives. I know you said you were on the train lines. You were with the Erie?
Erie, yeah, no.
And there were two lines that always came through Caledonia, right? Yeah, Erie and what was
Erie
the other
and
one?
York Central.
Oh, okay.
See, back in 1902, well, before that, Erie was the first one through here. No, I'm taking it back. New York Central was the first one through here in 1834. And then about 1859, the Erie come in, and they have single tracks. That's why there's so much distance between them here, because York Central is on the southmost track. Erie is the northmost track. And in 1902, they signed an agreement that everything going west out of Galleon would run on the Erie. Everything east out of Marion would run on the New York Central. So at Marion, we joined them together. At Galleon, they joined them and split them. And New York Central, coming through Caledonia, went to Galleon and turned left and went to Cleveland. The Erie went straight through to Mansfield and, of course, New York City. And that's how it was all the time I hired out. And at Martell, there's a tower at Martell. I worked in the towers, control towers. And that Martell and Galleon had what they called Armstrong levers. They stood about this high, and you pulled them. If you want, I can show you a picture of them. In my, but you'd pull that lever, and it was went out of the tower like this, and then out on a pipeline. That pipeline, you pull a tower, and the pipeline move about like this to throw a switch here. And then you had to lock it. You had to have a lock on the switch.
So you were a switchman? Is that your title?
Well,
or?
We were called telegraphers. Because back in the day, that's the only way they could communicate with one another was telegraph. Now, when I hired out, it was telephone, but we also had to telegraph. I learned to telegraph a little bit. And so that's what I did.
And you were based at Martell?
No, I had to, well, as long as I, when I could, I had seniority enough to hold a job there, I could. But then I worked mainly in Marion and Galleon. In the last 5 years, I had to drive to Columbus every day.
And then you said you became the custodian?
Yeah, they had a custodian up here.
How did you decide to do that switch? You just didn't want the commute anymore? Or?
Yeah. Well, then, too, I was going to have to bump a job where I worked two first tricks. That's 7 to 3. Two second tricks, 3 to 11. And one third trick, 11 to 7, and drive home. And I,
how could you have a normal sleep schedule with that?
Oh, you can't. Never could.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what was it like switching to work at the schools?
Oh, it was a lot different, but I had a problem with my prostate, and I was telling my doctor, I said, I got a chance here to, because I sat almost, well, down in Columbus, I sat 5 or 8 hours a day, and then hour and a half down, hour and a half, it took me 11 hours to get 8 hours pay, and I was sitting all the time. And I told him, I said, I get there and I'll be able to walk around a lot. And he said, I suggest you do that. So that was one reason I went. That, and my wife had a beauty shop in this room next door here.
What was that called?
Nancy's. And I put it in there for her. And she didn't want to move, so we didn't move. I was also farming about 80 acres of her dad's farm out north of town here.
And her name was Nancy. What was her last
name? Nancy Shear.
Nancy Shear, of course.
Yeah. And she had two brothers, Don and Rick. And you wouldn't have known them. But, yeah, I farmed. Was farming 80 acres. That job come open, and I thought, well, I took a $10,000 a year cut in pay, but I could walk to work. I got Saturday and Sunday off, and I went to bed every night.
Did you get summers off? Not quite.
No. During summer, you had to, when the kids was out of school, you had to clean every room, every desk, move everything out, scrub the floors, wax them, glue everything back.
But a little bit better work-life balance with that job.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I get home here and help me with my duties at church. I pray every Sunday. So it worked out real good.
And is that where you retired from?
Yeah, I retired. Yeah, I lost her in September of 1996. She was killed in an automobile wreck over in Pennsylvania.
So sorry.
And then the following March, I turned 62. I just had no reason to work. I retired. Then a year and a half later, we got married.
You guys said you knew each other a lot of your lives.
Well, yeah, we've been at the same church over there.
Well, we knew each other growing up in town together, too.
Yeah.
Not that we were close, we just knew each other.
Just knew one. I knew she was Bonnie Goings. Good Goings' wife.
And your husband, you said, had been paralyzed a lot of his life, and then he passed away right around when your wife was
about 6 months before Nancy.
He passed away in February, and she passed away in September.
I spent 2 Christmases by myself, and I'm not going to do that again. And the scripture says that you can remarry if you lose your mate only in the Lord. That means you have to marry another Christian. So she was in a church, and we got together, and neither one of us had any inclination to get married. I just asked her if she wanted to go out and eat. I hated to go to a restaurant and go in and sit down all by myself and eat. But things worked out. We got married.
I love that. And Bonita, tell me a little bit about what you did throughout your life and career. I know you mentioned working at, was it Next Market out in Galleon?
Mm-hmm.
But what happened after high school or during high school? I know you worked at Shockley's in high school? Or
I worked at Shockley's when I was in high school. And then when I got out of high school, I worked at an IGA over in Mount Gilead for a while. And then I got married and moved to Mansfield, and I didn't work for a little while. And then I worked for Big Bear over there. And then Cliff and I moved back to Caledonia, and I didn't work. I wanted to go back to school. But just as I was ready to go back to school, he had his accident.
Was his accident, you said, a motorcycle accident?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
tell her how that happened.
Well, if you want to, you don't have to, too. I'm sure it's not fun.
Well,
we had the bike worked on, and the guy that worked on it put the front wheel had the front wheel off, and he put it on wrong, and as he drove it, rode it, it
tightened
up, and it froze up and locked, and
tore all the spokes out, threw
him in the ditch, and landed on his back, and crushed it, 3 vertebrae in his back.
Oh, man.
So then I had to go back to work again, and so I worked at Kroger's and Marion, and I worked at Neff's, and when we lived in Mansfield, I worked at Uncle Bill's too, up there in the grocery store.
So you were the sole breadwinner for your family because your husband was he on disability, or they probably didn't even
he
have
was
much?
On disability. He was on disability. He worked at General Motors, so he had a disability, plus he had insurance, and they carried him with the insurance. So that was a big, big help because he was in the hospitals a lot. And anyways, then, I worked at, I went to work at Neff's.
And was that a meat market or a grocery
store?
A grocery store.
And guy, and I worked up there for quite a while. And then Cliff got sick, and I had to quit work for a while. So when I went back to work, I went up to the Galleon Hospital and applied for a job up there. And I got into the physical therapy department as a medical assistant. And I worked there for 10 years, and then I went over to Marion, and I worked at Marion General and Smith Clinic then in physical therapy department for 12 years. Then I retired.
Well, during that time, for 22 years,
I ran squad for 22 years all this time. I was working.
On top of that.
So.
You guys are busy.
Yeah.
And raised 2 boys and took care of the paraplegic husband. And I kept busy.
Wow. That's incredible.
I'm sorry I look so bad now. I've been working out in my
yard. You guys look amazing. I was with kids all day, and I'm wearing a shirt from the 80s, which I'm very proud of, but still. But so what, I guess for each of you, what do you think about the changes that have happened on the public square? I mean, obviously, you know, it's a very different world than the world you guys grew up in the 40s and 50s in Caledonia, but how do you feel like things have evolved over the years?
Well, one thing is the surface of it. They paved it. When I was a kid, it was brick.
The whole square, the streets were brick.
Well, it started at Water Street. There was brick all down through Marion Street into the square, and there was brick all the way south to just the south edge of the funeral home. That's all brick. You can still see some of the brick works, the takeoffs down on the South Main, but it's paved, state paved. I don't see the state paved all of it.
What kind of impact do you think that had, paving it over?
Just made it smoother. Those bricks, when they got wet, were really slick. So it helped. And then underneath that square, in the northeast quadrant, I think there may still be a manhole there. They had a great big cistern under that. And the fire department used they had cisterns all around Caledonia here. If they get a fire, they get in that cistern and use the water on the pumper, hook it to the pumper and pump water out of. There's still some of them, I think, laying around here.
Wow.
Yeah. Then in the 1950, when they put the waterworks in, of course, no, they didn't need them because they got the fire plugs.
I think that might be, I think the village council might have a grant now to try to fill in some of those cisterns, because I think they are still around. I think I heard that.
Yeah.
And they might cause trouble if they're not being used or something.
I think the one on the square may have been filled, I think.
Wow.
Because it started to have problems. I think they filled with stone, I think. I'm not sure.
Wow.
But the others are dug in the tree lawns. They don't have big blocks of concrete over them.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. What about the changes to the businesses? I know we have a lot of vacancies now, and back in the day there were all these businesses. What do you guys think is the future of our downtown?
I think they'll be torn down.
The whole downtown?
Yeah, in time. Well, it's just like the one that your grandma owns. They've got it blocked off now because the bricks will fall off it.
We got that, actually. We had the parapet wall taken down so they can put it back up, but it all needs new mortar. Because the mortar's falling out, but we caught that. We caught that as one brick fell, and then we took that parapet wall down.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily.
I seen the guys taking that down. Yeah. But the village is taking care of the one that houses the
console
and that big room upstairs, although I've been told they can't use that big room upstairs.
It's got some water damage.
Is that what it is?
It needs some love, and I think it's not ADA accessible. And to get an ADA elevator these days, you have a riding chair, but to be accessible to people with disabilities now, you do need an elevator, and it's like a $100,000 project. Yeah. I think they could get a grant for it, though. I do.
Yeah. Well, now, we put an elevator in this church building over here. And, good man, that was, 20-some years ago.
Yeah. We've been gone for 14 years.
No, we've been gone
since
18.
18 years.
18 years ago. But anyway, we put that in there. It's hydraulic, a hydraulic elevator. Because that church is three levels. You walk in off the ground. They either go down or go up. And we always had to carry wheelchairs up those front steps.
That is hard with a church like that, with no ground level.
Yeah. That's why we put the... It cost us $58,000 to put that in.
18 years ago.
Yeah.
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 So I think that's why they don't use the upstairs that much. But I know they did in the 80s. I interviewed Pinky Lion about Fantastic Fridays.
They had that Fantastic Friday up there for a number of years, yeah.
They had a lot going on. But they did. What do you think, Bonita? What do you think is the future of our public square in the downtown?
I don't think it's going to go anywhere. There's not enough interest in it anymore, I don't think.
I don't know what your grandma's going to do. She owns that whole block there. I know what Craig wanted to do.
What's that?
Well, he wanted to put apartments in up there and rent it out. But she don't want to put any money in it. She just leaves it set there. And once she goes, well, then I'll be up to your mom.
Yeah.
Your other sister, her other sister, and the two boys.
Well, I've been doing a lot of work. We got it on the National Register because once it's listed, you can get tax credits to cover 45% of the cost of rehabbing it. So we are working on that stuff behind the scenes. We actually, it's not in the papers yet, but I can put it on the interview, I guess. But we just got approved by the county commissioners $58,000 from the Community Development Block Grant to rehab that, you know, that back corner where the bridge is on?
Yeah.
They gave us money to help do that.
Yeah, see, that's added onto that building. That's not the original brick.
That's why it's that softer brick.
Yeah.
In the back.
And it amazes me, that whole building there, the mortar joints is only about that thick. And they're still intact.
Well, it's pretty dusty. I think all of our buildings downtown need some. I'm working with April. I do historic preservation, and why I trained in that is because I wanted to come back and help with California stuff and these old buildings. But I'm going to be doing a nomination this summer, all of the buildings, to put it on a historic district, and then all of those buildings can get tax credit.
Okay, because that one housed the...
Dance Factory.
Yes, it's in bad shape.
It needs help. And I know the owner, Trish, who bought it from Carol.
Who owns it?
Trish Hart.
No.
And she lives in Akron now. She owns the Dance Factory, too. She bought it. She was one of Carol Starr's students.
Okay.
And she really wants to get it fixed up. But the problem is once these buildings are old, for brickwork, you're looking at $1 million.
An old brick's an old brick. I mean, it only has a life expectancy is so long.
Right, and...
And the brick in it isn't near as good as the brick over there where Reese's Market was.
My grandma's two buildings, the Temple Masonic, it was called a... The contractors have told us, we're working with Mid-State contractors,
yeah.
And they're really great. They work on the palace, and they specialize in historic. It's Doug Hooper,
yeah.
And the Hoopers grew up around here. But it's pressed clay brick, which is really special with all these layers of pressed clay. Mm-hmm. So that's why the front of the building looks really that nice, shiny brick.
Yeah.
But on the parking lot side and the back,
yeah.
It's the orange brick, and that's the part that wasn't meant to be showed to anyone.
Right.
And so, but yeah, they do... I'll have to talk to Craig about some of his vision, because I would love to get apartments in there and get those storefronts back in action. But
right.
I think it's still a question of, would people shop here? If we reduced the vacancy and got stores in, do you guys think it could come back and we could have that
probably
vibrant
not,
downtown?
Not with the...
They'll just go to Polaris?
Well, no, with the Meijer, Walmart.
Dollar General.
Kroger. Yeah, and Dollar General downtown now. I just talked to Tim. You know Tim Mooney?
Yeah, I'm just texting with him right now to try to set up an interview time.
Okay. Well, Tim told me here just recently that if Reese's had still been open, he would have squelched Dollar General coming into Caledonia.
Did they have to vote on that?
Yeah. Well, he had a say-so in it because his property lays next to it.
Wow.
And they had to get an okay from him to put that store in there.
And it's going to be tough now, I think, to get stuff back downtown because Dollar General knows what they're doing. They come to towns.
I have to tell you they do.
They come to towns that they think are on the outs, but then they also make it hard for anything to come downtown again, you know.
Well.
This is interesting.
They, whoever cites them really knows what they're doing.
But I think they could have made the choice to move into one of these buildings downtown, and
they
don't do that. They want their little box.
Right. Her son, Todd, told us that Dollar General is bigger than Walmart.
Really?
Yes. It is probably the biggest retailer.
Well, it's not only Dollar General. It's Dollar General, Dollar Store, Dollar Tree, and there's four of them. That all those dollar, and they're all in one big conglomerate.
You know where their warehouse is down off of 71 and 61, north of Columbus?
I don't know if I do.
Oh, that thing is humongous. That's where they have all their goods brought. That's their warehouse. They bring their goods in there,
wow.
And they ship it out to these. See, there's three of them in Marion.
Yeah, it has. I mean, it has changed the possibility.
One in Iberia.
Downtown, yeah. Iberia, wow.
One in Galleon.
Wow.
Yeah.
One in Mount Galleon.
So, what do you guys think about the new festivals happening downtown? Like, we've got the farmers market. They might be just about leaving, but I think from 4 to 7:30, they've got a food truck downtown where you can.
I see
food.
Where they're going to have that. Yeah.
What do you guys think about all of that? There is some stirrings of life.
Well,
but,
it comes and goes, and Caledonia still stays. One nice thing about Caledonia is this. You can't find another Marion County village outside Mary Prospect. I haven't gone clear through Prospect. As nice as Caledonia, because Martell's a wreck, and so is Leroux and New Bloomington. They could almost tear both of them down and they wouldn't miss anything.
A wreck in that.
Well, their houses are not taken care of.
I see, yeah.
Now, there's a few around here that should be torn down. Was on the tear down list, but people did just enough to them to get them off the list. And her uncle's house up there next to that Underwood place, I couldn't believe they tore that one down. But it had mold in it.
Well, the basement filled with water, and it got all moldy, and they had to tear it down. And it was a beautiful home.
Yeah, it was still a good, solid-built house, even when they tore it down.
Somebody had left it set, and water filled up in the basement, and then it just molded so bad that when the mold just... Moisture just went up to the upstairs. But it was a beautiful home. when Lowell Mary lived there and Grandma and Grandpa lived in the upstairs.
So it's the quality of the houses and the people that keeps you guys here, even if the downtown's a little more quiet than it was in the 50s?
Yeah.
No, I like it the way it is.
You don't miss the drugstore?
No. We had a small-time drug dealer live next door to us for about 10 years, and he was terrible. If he had to quit using the F word,
he wouldn't have been able to talk.
He wouldn't have been able to talk. And, they're just terrible.
Well, I know the opioid epidemic has hit all of Ohio really hard, but I think...
Is that right?
I mean, I think most communities, I mean, Marion County, but Southern Ohio, a lot of places, because they...
Well, Marion County, or Marion, Ohio is bad on drugs.
Yeah.
But this guy finally moved out of here. A slumlord owned it from Marion. And I offered him $2,000 for the house. I was going to tear it down, just make a lot out of it. And he sent me mad. He would put everything new in that house. And they turned around.
Probably $50,000.
They turned around and sold it for a pretty decent price. I think they give
67.
No. They give 70 something.
Oh, I thought it was 60.
No. They give 78 or something like that. But that's still the girl just bought this little yellow one over here. You know what she gave for that? $100,000.
And there's no air conditioning in it.
No.
There's no foundation under it. It's built on the ground. And I couldn't believe it when we heard she gave it.
Well, the guy bought it for $17,000.
And then flipped it that high.
And flipped, well, he did. He put a lot of stuff in it, though.
I mean,
well, he had to fix a lot of stuff up because he let it set and the pipes froze up and busted and... Oh, he had to put a lot of stuff in it. But he probably didn't put, if he put $50,000 in it, he still come out smelling like a rose. He was asking $90,000 out of it.
He was asking $90,000 for it, and somebody got in. They got into a bidding war and ended up with $100,000.
Paying $100,000 for that.
So the value of homes here is continuing to go up, right?
Oh,
and people like it.
Yeah, there's one down in South Water that the kid just fixed up and put big white fence all around it.
He added on to that house.
Yeah, he added on to it.
And he fixed everything.
$243,000 for that place.
Wow.
And a lot's only, I think they're a little bit bigger than they are up here. I think it's 66 feet on the frontage, so 148.5. And he got $234,000, and I've just been told that it caught fire. I drove down by it. I could see just one piece of trim hanging. I don't know. You couldn't see the siding didn't buckle, so I don't know what kind of fire they had.
Well, I know we've been talking for a while. I'm going on over 2 hours and 15 minutes. Not quite the three. Sometimes they go three, but... Any last things you guys want to say that you didn't get to say either about your memories on the square? And I mean, we could talk about so many other things than we have, but we've got to a lot.
Well, one thing we didn't address was the crossing protection for years set on what we call dummies. Concrete about 4 foot high, and it was sort of heart-shaped. And then on top of that was the flashers, just the one set of flashers, no gates or anything. And you had to drive out around it. All three
crossings
had those for years.
Are these the ones that kind of look like big birds in the picture? They're kind of like...
Well, I got a picture of one here. Let me...
I think I know what you're talking about, but they didn't go up and down. They just stayed there.
Yeah, they saw. They just had two lights, and they just blinked. The Whitey Henry I was telling you about,
yeah,
he was about 3 sheets in the wind, and the guy driving him was drunk. They pulled up there and they hit one of them head on.
Well, I'd love to see some of your pictures. We're actually, for the project, we're scanning pictures, so maybe I could.
Oh, are you?
Do you think I could come back and scan some of these? I have a scanner on my phone.
Oh, okay.
I'd love to get some of these.
Come over here and I'll show you what they are. And
well, turn the lights on. It's getting dark in here.
It is. I got to get a picture of you guys, too, if you're okay with it.
Before. Oh, not tonight. You're not going to get a picture of me.
You want me to come back?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you look
beautiful. Or we can let you scan that one up there.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, we'll scan that one. I've been working out in the yard all day.
I brought my camera. I'm a photographer, so I can make anyone look good, but you guys look good.
You're with me now.
Well, I don't know if I can with my recorder. Let me...
Oh.
I'll scoot over. Is that okay? And then I can... I'm looking backwards, but I'll be okay. You don't have to get them out. I can look upside down.
Let me... Go get us another one of these.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Because you got to be able to see them.
Here, you know what I'll do? It's okay. How about I sit here and I won't be able to hear it from there, but I can just talk to you here.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, you're okay. Sorry, Benita.
Leave it go, sweetheart. Here's Martell.
And that's you doing the...
That's the levers. That's they called Armstrong levers.
You got to be pretty strong for that.
Well, we had some little weak guys. They jerk it and get it over.
I took your spot, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, that's okay.
This,
you want to still use it? You want to put it up, or you just want to do it this
no,
way?
No, this is fine.
Okay.
This is a desk. We had a scissors phone. This box here operated the eastbound sighting switch.
Can I take a picture of you while you're talking? Of the picture?
Oh, yeah.
Just so I can remember which one you're talking about.
And here's telegraph key. Here's the jack box, and all these up here are controls on signals.
Wow.
We could put it through this fade, what they called the fade, and tell trains to take siding at Caledonia, but they never did because the Caledonia sidings weren't that big.
And these are some of the trains you worked on?
Yeah, this is the Erie.
I would love to come back and scan these. These are amazing.
Now, this is where I worked down in Columbus.
Oh.
And I had a panel here, here, and here. And then in front of me here was a great big, I don't know what I'd want to call it, had multiple panels on it. They're all about like this, and they had about 12 of them on there.
Do you want your seat back?
No.
I'm sure. I feel bad. Yeah, these
no, I've seen all that. I know all that.
So what I do as a documentary artist, like I would put these together with your story, so it'll I can hear you talking and then see the pictures of what you're talking about.
Now here's what I'm talking about. Here's that dummy on Water Street. You see?
Can I get a picture? No, you guys don't want it at all. Really? I think you look. Are you sure?
No, not the way I look.
Oh.
These are the Caledonia River Bridges. Old Tangier River Bridge at Caledonia.
And they're still there, right?
Pardon?
They're still there, right?
Oh, yeah. But you can't see this anymore. See, this track's torn up now.
So they only use one of them now?
They just use this track.
So which railroad's gone?
Erie.
Erie's gone.
They tore the Erie out.
And CSX bought New York Central?
Well, no. Conrail took over the... Well, the New York Central went into Penn Central, into Conrail, and the CSX and the Norfolk and Southern bought Conrail and split it up. So this is CSX. This always runs from Cleveland to Indianapolis to St. Louis. This track did. This track here went from Chicago to New York.
Huh.
Now here's Sterling Tower. That's where I first went to work. This is
that Martell or no?
No, that's Sterling.
Where's Sterling?
Sterling, that's northern Wayne County.
Oh, okay.
And this is the Erie, the old Erie, and this is the B&O across the Erie.
Look at all these.
Yeah, that's Sterling.
Did you pack a bag?
I mean, I have a lot of stuff in my car. I don't have a toothbrush, but I would love to come back, and like I said, I have a... I'll show you guys really quick. It's just a little app on my phone, but what's nice is, see, look, watch. You got to put it on a surface, but it'll it'll scan it and it'll actually, it didn't do very good there, but if we put a, like if we put a paper under it or something where,
I think oh, you take really these out, yeah.
But let me show you what it'll do. So you just, it's actually a little scanner, and I do this, and then, oh, sometimes it flattens it though. Let me turn off my, gotta figure out how to turn off my flash, okay. And then we can go back to the, your story. I just wanted to show you guys this. So you put it on a surface. Okay. All right, thank you. It finds it, and then it takes a picture of it, and it's a scan, just like on a scanner.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have it, and I could put it with your story on the website, which is amazing. And it wouldn't, it's super quick, so I could do hundreds of them in a couple minutes, but I'd love to come back and do that if we can find the time.
These are pictures in July the 4th, 1969, through the Sterling area, they had 11 inches of rain in 5 hours.
Wow.
And it washed these bridges out.
That's terrifying. Nobody got hurt though, right?
Yeah, luckily.
Can I take a picture of you while you're talking, even if Bonnie says no?
Yeah, I'll cut you out.
Okay. I just like to capture the moment when we're talking, you know, because
Well, here
I'm just here once.
Here's Martell Tower.
What's still there?
No. I knew they was going to close it, so I went over and took pictures of it. I worked there on and off about 6 or 7 years.
These are beautiful.
Now, just toward the end of my railroad career, they put a temporary station up here at the crossover at Caledonia. So I bid that in.
That was after the depot closed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, depot was torn down. This was Conrail.
Temporary station, you mean for you guys to work there?
Well, you had to, yeah, you had to work there. Here is my desk, my clock. Here's what I had to do. I had to hand on clearances to the trains so they could go by there. They couldn't go by there unless I give them a clearance.
Wow.
Now, this is what they called the high fill out between Galleon and Ontario. This is the Erie.
High fill.
Yeah, because they call it the high fill eastbound. The topography went like this.
Yeah.
It was made a real hard pull for an eastbound train. So they built a trestle out of wood, I'm told, and it, as the trestle got older, they filled it in with cinders.
Oh.
That's all cinders. That thing used to catch fire.
Terrifying.
Well, they have a grass fire and it catch fire. Now here, this is a tower I worked in down at Columbus, Owen Tangi Tower.
Where is that?
It's set on the banks of the Owen Tangi.
Wow.
Right now, if you would take 670 through through Columbus, you go over to where the top of the where this was.
Wow.
It's all torn out now. But it had 113 or 118 of these Armstrong levers in it. In its heyday, it took three guys working that.
What a cool job. You get to like work in all these amazing towers. That's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah.
This kind of job doesn't really exist anymore because it's all automated?
No. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think there's a tower in operation. And if there is, there's one up in Talia. Here's the desk.
I thought you were going to show where the...
Well, I showed her on the... I got a better one clear in the back here.
Oh, the railroads?
The dummies.
I love all of these, though. It's my favorite type of interviewing to do. I like the life stories, and we call this photo elicitation, where the photo helps you remember the memory.
Yeah.
Hey, that train's happy.
Well, now, Bonnie and I went through this. This is out in St. Louis, Railroad Museum.
Wow.
They've got Thomas out there. Had this engine. They had this old Erie engine out there.
There's some sort of a special old steam train up near Cleveland, because my friend just sent me a picture. She went with her dad, and they had an old steam locomotive come through Cuyahoga National Park or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went on that. That's the one we...
Is that the one that's up there?
That's the one we took the seniors and went on, isn't it?
No.
No?
Yeah, that was, but it wasn't steam. It was diesel.
Yeah, but that's what the...
Trying to find this one to show you, but I don't remember.
Here's the guy over at where'd he build that roundhouse where the over in Amish country? What's some of the towns? Sugar Creek.
Wow. So Anita, I have a question. Can I break your rule for a minute? Todd just texted me. Can I send him a picture of you so he'll be confused while I'm in your house? Can I send him one? He just texted me about getting him paid, and he's going to be so confused. Say hi, Todd.
Hi, Todd.
I'll say, guess where I am. He's going to be so confused. I was literally just texting him about getting him paid. But
he bought this engine. It was in a static display in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Who bought this? Just the guy?
The guy that built all this.
Wow.
And he put, I don't know, $400,000 in this.
Oh, my goodness.
And got it running again, and we rode behind it.
Wow.
It's in that roundhouse over there.
Let me get my... Once I start taking pictures with my real camera, there'll be snaps all over the recording, because this one's loud. These are neat.
We have a friend in the church in Marion. He went up to Ford Museum, and this is the engine that's in Ford Museum. It's a CNO, what they call a Mallee. They're Mallees because they got four set of drivers here, four here, and they hinge. Now, this is the interior of that engine. Here's where the engineer sat and the fireman. And this is that firebox. He got down here and took a picture of that. That's where they used to have all the coal burning to heat the steam for this thing.
Wow.
This is... I bought all I could of these things. Because, you know, if you buy something like it, it don't last.
That's true.
Now, here's the one in Marion that we worked at, and that was really busy.
Where was that in Marion?
Do you know where the...
Shovel Lounge
is?
Yeah, I do a lot of work out on the west side.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's right behind the Shovel Lounge. Shovel Lounge is right out of here.
Right over by the Ace High and where all that used to be, kind of?
No.
Not that far.
Ace High was on down.
But it's where... The Shovel Lounge is now what's a hibachi grill. It just reopened as a new restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a caboose that's right here.
Oh.
Here's the guys that worked in that tower over
are
the
you
years.
In there?
They're right there.
Wow. I got to come back and scan these. These are too cool. I love this.
This is my uncle.
These are my crummy pictures. I'll get better ones.
This is my uncle that got me on the railroad.
Wow. So you've got a long family history of railroad work.
Yeah. Well, he got me on, and I got my next brother, and I got my younger brother.
Wow.
And then my cousin, Erie was a railroad, family railroad. Now, here's where they moved this tower. It sat on the north side of the tracks, and when they closed it, Conrail gave it to the Marion Union Station Association with the proviso they had to move it from here the other side of the track. So they brought this great big crane in here and they built this saddle. They picked it up and the guy cut it off.
Whoa.
And they...
Is it in the museum now?
No, it's sitting there all by itself. Up here, I'll show you where they put it. He swung around and set it on a flat car here. Mm. There's the engine. And he pulled about 200 feet down here and another crane got a hold of it. Picked it up and set it on this. See, here's where it was.
Wow.
And here's where they put it. It's on the other side of the tracks. Here, that second. Here's where it was, and here's where it is now.
Wow.
There's the ticket office.
Okay, so I know exactly where that is now. Yeah. So it is kind of like a museum, right?
Oh, yeah. It is a museum. This is the inside of that.
Of the tower?
No.
Oh, of the
ticket office.
Ticket office. It's beautiful.
And these guys here were from the Trains magazine. This is the first year they ever did it. They give any group that was restoring old railroad history a $10,000 grant.
Wow.
And we was the first one to get it.
Amazing. So you're part of the group that...
I was.
Was it called?
Marion Union Station.
Marion Union Station, okay. Is it still active or is it mostly closed now?
No, they're still going. I just quit.
Very cool.
Me and the guy over there didn't get along.
Oh,
so I quit.
That happens in life.
This is the tower desk at Mansfield. Again, Todd's the one that got me all these pictures. He had a girl working for him.
Oh, Todd Goins.
Todd Goins.
Oh. He was in Mansfield for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, he worked up there.
This,
yeah, that's where
he
first started.
Didn't help. This is not the reason we got this.
Okay.
He had this girl at work for him.
Uh-huh.
Her dad took pictures of the railroad all for a long time. And the only reason I think he could have this one, the guy took pictures where they had accidents. And I know a guy got hurt in this tower. Uh-huh. It might be why they had this picture here, the inside of that tower. There's AC again. There, I blew that picture up of me throwing it. Now, here's up here is what they call model board, and I'll show you another one. Each tower had a model board that had to lay out of the track on it.
Wow.
When a train got within 4, 5, 6 miles of you, it would hit a circuit, the light would come on, and the bell would ring. And that told us we had to start. I had to give him the signal. Here's the fellow that took all these pictures, named Todd Miller.
Huh.
And he took these and he sold VCRs. And he was down in South Charleston, West Virginia, selling VCRs. Took a motel room, they found him dead the next morning.
Oh, my.
Died of a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
There's Martel.
Beautiful. I didn't realize Martel was such a big railroad town. George Cassonis told me that's how his family got here. Did you know that? He said that his dad was from an island in Greece called Samos.
Okay.
And when they came to Ellis Island, whoever it was, J.P. Morgan, whoever did the New York Central Railroad, had them build the railway out to here, and then they stayed at Martel to build all those tracks for Pillsbury. And that's how so many immigrants came here. Because they came out on the railroad.
Huh.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. Now, here's the tower at Galleon from Market Street. And I'm going to guess somebody got hit at Market Street and he was filming it.
Wow. What a morbid job to take pictures of where people got hit by trains.
Well, he did it for insurance.
Yeah. Oh, not just for fun. That makes it a little less creepy.
Now, this signal here is what we call a home signal. If it was down like this, the train had to stop. He did not dare go by that until he got this little thing went up at least to 45 or this one to go up to 90.
Wow.
This is the Galleon Ironworks in behind here, and then the
North Electric.
I can never remember that. North Electric. Now, this is at Marion. Here's AC Tower. That's the one we moved from here over to there.
Mm-hmm.
And this, at that time, was I'm just losing it. if you want to ship a stove or something.
Right.
Yeah. No, one. It was a separate entity. It was a railroad, but it was a separate entity. And I can't think of the name of it. Here's an old passenger engine. This came off the DL&W because they had dual headlights.
Huh.
Erie only had one. Here. You know where that's at?
Oh, I do. Is that behind no, that's the building we were talking about. Yeah. That's the
yeah, right.
That's the one that had the plaster.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep.
It used to have writing all over it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I recognize that right away.
Here's the elevators. Here's the landmark, or Farm Bureau, was here. This was Wrestlers. And clear down here, very, if you knew what you're looking for, you know what it is. It was a leg where Virgil Gist loaded cars up.
I definitely want to come and scan this one. And when we're done, I could scan them pretty quickly. If you had
a little bit more time.
You guys got to eat at some point.
Well, here, I was working at Galleon in 1975 to run that Freedom Train. And this is the Freedom Train running from Cleveland going to Columbus.
Is the Freedom Train part of the Bicentennial?
I don't know if it was or not.
Because 76 was the Bicentennial, right?
Well, maybe that's when this... I got it, the Freedom Train passing Burke Tower, 1976, yeah,
okay.
Summer 76, engineer Al Kugler. The engineer was an engineer that worked on this railroad, but he had runs, he was old enough to have run steam in his early days, and he run this train, he says, I'll run it for free if I get to run it.
Wow.
Cleveland to Columbus, stayed run it for nothing, just to run this. And a steam engine again. And here's that Burke Tower.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Now, you see on this stairway, it had metal you could see through it.
Mm-hmm.
And right here where that support went up, and it come down here and was welded onto that I-beam, one spring, a robin started building a nest there.
Uh-oh.
Built her nest, and I could look out this window and watch. She raised, she had five birds, but as they got bigger, this one big enough, one fell out and died. But she raised four, and we called her Ruthie, Ruthie Robin.
Wow, you remember everything. Amazing.
This is a tower in the north end of Galleon Yard. This is an old tower back before they put Burke Tower in. This is prior to World War I.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Ooh, this, did you take this one?
Well, that's Burke Tower.
I love it. I didn't know you were, you not only worked for the train lines, but you were a big fan of trains.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, these are pictures that Todd's girl... She didn't have the picture. She had the
negatives.
Mm. And give me a whole box, three drawers of negatives that guy took. Now, this was a wreck in Ashland, Ohio. Oh, this is... I just stuck that in here. That's me when I was a senior. This boy here was a junior. We played six-man football up here in Caledonia.
Wow.
He'd lost his right arm up to here in one of those old corn shellers. And he only had one arm. And they come over and took a picture of him and wrote this up.
Wow.
Now, my cousin, he, his son, took a big trip up northeast. This is in the very corner of Pennsylvania. It's called the Starucka Viaduct. It was built in 1847.
Wow.
Even before the Civil War. That was laid up by stonemasons.
Beautiful.
Now this one is poured concrete. It's Tuckahannock. That's in Pennsylvania also. That's on the Dion W. Now I'll get back here and show you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to come back and scan all of these if you guys let me. These are amazing.
Right.
Is this you guys as kids?
That's me.
Yeah. You guys ask, this is you as a kid.
Yeah, me and my brother, two brothers.
Wow.
He's 8 years younger than I am. I had hair back then.
That's amazing. I gotta get another picture of that one. I love seeing people's kids. That's just wild.
this cat.
Is that a cat from the past or the present?
No, probably 20 years ago. We had a friend in church at Calvary, or at Marion. He lived over on the other side of Mount Gilead, out the farm ground, farm field. But he had a motor, he had a house trailer. And this was built on the house trailer. That was Ike. Ike the cat.
Ike knows how to find a good life. Is that your family?
Yeah, that's my mom and dad and us three boys.
Looks like a lot of fun.
We were up to Allmiller Park in Bucyrus.
Oh, what's that?
Allmiller Park?
Is it still there?
Oh,
Is that the big park where they have the big birds now?
I think it is.
Yeah.
It's where the swimming pool is.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd have the Wyoming reunion up there.
Wow.
Now this is what they call a model board, and this one was up at Sterling, and
it's like a representation of the rail tracks, and it tells you where.
And it tells all these lights tells us where the set light lit.
Mm-hmm.
That meant there was something setting in the westbound siding there.
Wow.
And this is the westbound, the eastbound. That's the approach, and this is the advance. This is the Erie, and the B&O come down here and crossed over the Erie. In 1965, they crossed a train in the eastbound, had to run the eastbound track as number two track. Number one track was a westbound track. But if something broke down or they wanted to cross this guy over, they lined him up to do that. They're going to cross him through this crossover and bring him down here. And it used to be a little, what they called a wharf signal.
Huh.
It only set about this high off the ground. And it was red because he lined for an Erie westbound to go through here ahead of this guy. He never stopped. He run down here.
Uh-oh.
And they hit head on.
Oh, boy. So that can happen even with all the...
Well, the engineer don't stop. He's got the most responsible job on the railroad as far as I'm concerned. I'll show you a picture of it, what happened here.
This is
Jordan Marion. This is on Bennett Street.
Oh, okay. That's right where the school I work at, Garfield, is. It's right by Bennett.
Oh, okay.
So I know all about the railroads because I see them every day.
this AC tower before it caught fire. 1955, it caught fire.
Why would a tower catch fire?
Well, the operator.
Electric?
No, there was no toilet in there. Now, over on the other side of the tracks was what they called the terminal building. Dispatcher, the superintendent was in there. They had flush toilets. So this guy would run down there and go up and use that flush toilet. Before he left, he stoked the fire up real good and went down and went to the pot. Come back, the tower's on fire.
Oh, boy.
And so they had to redo it. What you see now, the pictures I have shown you, it's all been redone in 1955.
Mm.
Here's this really blown up of that picture of me sitting there at Martell.
You were like out of high school then?
No. I was working on a railroad.
But you did that straight out of high school? Working
Yeah. I graduated Tuesday night, went to work on a railroad Wednesday.
Wow. Usually you got a job from someone in your family, kind of knew how
well,
to do it.
Well, my uncle did.
Your uncle did.
Had me hired out before I ever graduated. Now on the railroad, it's all drawn up on paper like this. I got one piece of it. Here's what I did as an operator. If a train broke down on a track, then you had to cross the other trains around them, and they had to have permission to go down that, go the opposite direction on that track.
Ah.
So you had to address it here, CNE, conductor and engineer, PC, number 55, engine 3091, an ELX for 3667, an ELX for 3661 West. All three of them had to be run around this guy.
How would you get the message to them? Because there was not text messaging. Right?
Well, you went down there and you had a hoop. It had an arm on it like this, like a broom handle. And it had a V and it had a clamp. And you'd wrap this all up, put it in a string, run that string down there and run on that clamp. Then you had to go down there and stand next to the track and hand that up to them.
Wow.
But this told them what to do. PC number 55, engine 309-1 in the Erie's west have right over opposing trains on number 2 track. Burt Tower to the crossroad at Martell. So the guy at Martell had to hold everything coming east until those trains, all three of them, got through there. And all trains east get this at Martell. The extra 3605 west on track 1 does not have a copy. That's the one that was in trouble.
Mm.
He didn't have a copy of this order. He didn't know they were going to do that. Now, here's some of the big engines that they used when I first hired out on the railroad. They're called EM1s.
And it's all coal burning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at the smoke. The steam, they was all steam engine. And they had two sets of drivers. There's four drivers here and four there.
Wow.
That's another one. I was able to buy them, those pictures. Huh. Now, that day they had the wreck. Here's what they did. Railroad accident investigation. And the Interstate Commerce Commission run it. And the whole deal's in there, what happened.
Wow.
Now I'll show you a picture of what it looked like when they hit on.
Bad.
See, here's the tower. That guy crossed over back here, and he was coming up this westbound track. And right here at the crossing where they crossed, Erie come down this way about 55, 60 mile an hour and smacked head on right here.
Wow.
Burn up at least 7 units, maybe 8. And they had, I don't know how many different fire companies, like, because Sterling was only about 400 people.
Were the people on the trains okay or no?
No, it killed 5 guys.
Wow.
Killed the 2 guys on the head into the Erie, and 3 guys was on the head into that B&O. The only one survived was the one Erie guy was riding in the 4th unit using the radio back there because the radio didn't work on the... And when it hit, it threw him out here in this field somewhere, broke his back.
Oh.
But that some guy flew here. Carl T. Weingartner went to Cleveland and rented a helicopter, take him down there. He took a picture of this.
Wow.
And then he sold them. I bought this down in Columbus.
Wow.
That was the worst wreck.
That was in the 80s or 70s?
No, that was 65.
65, right? Wow.
1965. There's another one of them EM1s. Well, I thought I had a picture. Yeah, I do. It's coming up.
You're trying to find the crossing for me in Caledonia.
Yeah, it's coming up.
I think only one of your pictures was of Caledonia.
No, here's Caledonia.
Oh, okay. Wait, can I get one of those? I'm going to have to, like I said, either come back and scan them, or I can try to do it really quick if you guys have... You can make dinner and do whatever you need to do, and I can just scan them, sit on the floor and do that.
That's AC again. Now, let's see. I think it's for... I should have went to the back. There it is. Right there. That's Water Street, and there's the dummy.
Oh, wow.
See that?
So there were no crossings that came down besides that? Just that.
No, there's no... They didn't have gates back in that day and age.
Wow.
That I'm aware of. Here's the water tower. And each crossing had one of those nothing over here facing the other way.
Mm.
And that was all concrete. And this set on the top of that.
And the reason they jutted it out in the middle of the road like that, so you had to physically stop and go around it. So
well,
it kind of made people pay attention.
Well, you didn't
so you could see
have to stop and go around it because it wasn't that big.
You just pull up there.
But it was enough that you couldn't just speed over the tracks without thinking about it.
Oh, yeah, you could. You had to miss it.
Yeah.
That one guy didn't.
Yeah. I know people have gotten killed in Caledonia several times on the track.
Oh. Yeah. One day, you might want to put this on here. In 1947, I was down at Hiley's Hill, sliding my sled, and I heard a great big kerfunk and a passenger train, big four passenger train coming west, hit a 1946 Ford, what'd they call them things? A covered truck is what it was. And they delivered milk, because there was a guy that lived out just outside of town that milked cows and sold milk. Mm-hmm. We bought our milk off of them. And her name was, I think it was Schuster, I think. They lived out there, little house. You went around through the bridge and around the curves. Remember that little house that sat right there? Irvin Hunt lived in it for a long time.
Oh, right here.
Yeah, on Old 30.
Yeah, yeah.
It's right across from the old stock barn.
Yeah.
Well, that's where those people lived. And Garver lived down there where Ron and Tidy lived. And he milked, and he sold that milk in Caledonia. And they delivered it. And she wasn't looking or something. It was a, what do they call them trucks? They had a name for them. Mm-hmm. Just had a cab, and then it was open, clear to the back. And it was all closed. And they hauled that milk in there.
Sure.
And I was on my sled, and I heard that kerfunk. And here she pulled out there, and that passenger train hit her, killed her and her daughter. And they were so busted up, they couldn't pick them up. Every bone in their body was broke. And it just like water, they said. They'd pick it up, it'd just slip out of their hands.
Mm-hmm.
That they got killed killed both of them. 1947. I'll never forget that.
Wow.
I heard that hit.
Life and trains for you. Well, let me... Still rolling on the recorder. We're almost at 3 hours, so... Do you guys have anything else that you didn't get to say? I know we're really far away now, but I can still pick you up. Anything else you want to share for this record? Or?
No, I think I told you about everything that... I knew that went on.
Yeah.
Whole lot. We didn't have a whole lot going on in Caledonia.
Bonita, do you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I was a very quiet child.
Well, thank you guys for taking the time to share with me and with the project. And once again, I'll try to see if I can get the full names again. John Jack Weidemeyer.
Yeah.
And Bonita. Dallas. Marie.
Yeah.
Dallas Going Weidemeyer.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the best I've done. I usually mess it up right after I hear it cue. And once again, it is it's not a Tuesday. It's a Monday. I think I said Tuesday earlier, May 23rd, 2022. I'm Jessica Marlies Heller. This has been an interview for the Caledonia Public Square Memories and Futures Project. Thank you both so much. And thank you, anyone who's listening.
I guess the only thing-